Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Some pediatric practices around the state are sending a strong message to parents and guardians hesitant to vaccinate their kids these days. Immunize or find another doctor. As reporter Sarah Vasquez-Few of North Carolina Health News recently reported, that's the tactic that doctors at Boone's Blue Ridge Pediatric and Adolescent Medicine took when it announced the practice would no longer treat patients whose parents and guardians choose not to vaccinate for non-medical reasons. That move, and others like it, of course, have been spurred by the growing problem of parents who refuse to vaccinate their children for any number of serious childhood illnesses. Recently, I sat down with Vasquez-Few to get a gauge on where this debate over vaccination stands in North Carolina. Well, Sarah Vasquez-Few, welcome back to News and Views. It's good to have you back with us, a former policy watcher who's now a journalist writing for North Carolina Health News.
It is great to be here, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you recently reported on a very important story. It's interesting. It's gotten sporadic national attention, but it's a problem all over, and that's the issue of vaccinations and measles. Measles were once thought to have been eradicated in the U.S., but they're making a comeback. And talk to us about how this has kind of become a problem again in 2019.
Right. So the measles outbreak, I think a lot of listeners are probably well aware, has been going on for about the last month or so. The state of New York and California have been highly affected. There were, especially in New York, some large populations of Jewish Orthodox groups who had high rates of no vaccination. And so measles, as you mentioned, is incredibly contagious. Essentially, if someone infected with measles coughs in a room, you can walk in 2 hours later and catch it. Part of the reason why the vaccination is really hailed as a major medical miracle.
And it's not like it's just some little harmless illness to get, right? I mean, measles can be serious.
No, measles can be incredibly serious. And I think those that maybe some of your older listeners who were around when measles was common can talk about that. I mean, there are people who have siblings that died from it. You know, some people are able to emerge okay, but it can be incredibly difficult for the young, those with compromised immune systems to handle.
And it's recommended, of course, that toddlers have a series of shots. But as you say, you found we're seeing a rise in the unvaccinated. People are choosing for a variety of reasons or just be partially vaccinated or not vaccinated at all.
Right. A lot of times when we talk about vaccination rates in the state, we look at the rates of kindergartners entering public and private schools. That's something that has to be the state health department keeps track of and is required to keep track of. That excludes the homeschooling population. So it's not a perfect set of assessing who's vaccinated and who's not. So what I did is I looked at a different set of data kept by the CDC, looking at the rates of vaccination amongst toddlers, those who had gotten basically their full slate of, but just about their full slate of recommended shots. These are things to protect you against whooping cough, against the measles, against chicken pox, things like that. And what we found is that in North Carolina, in a very short period of time, 3 years from 2014 to 2017, we've gone from an 80% coverage rate, which was great. We were one of the leaders in the nation, to we now dropped to 70%, just above the national average. And it's worrisome. A lot of pediatricians around the state are worried about it. The state health officials are worried. They say, we're still doing good. We're better than the national average. But it's a pretty rapid decline in a very short period of time.
It's enough of a movement, the anti-vaxxer movement, it's even sometimes referred to. There are, I guess, multiple reasons that people come up with to say that they don't want their kids vaccinated. Can you tell us a little bit about what some people are saying, why they might not have their child vaccinated?
Right. And so for some of the pediatricians I talked to, I produced this piece for North Carolina Health News.
Right.
I encourage people to check us out. There's really great content. But some of the pediatricians said there's two camps of people. There's those that are the dead set against vaccines. They're convinced of this now disproven evidence that vaccines are harmful. And these are the people that doctors say will actually be arguing with them, trying to convince them that vaccines are harmful. Those are people that the pediatricians say we really have a hard time moving them. They're kind of the true believers. This other camp are what they say is vaccine hesitant. Parents who, you know, because when a lot of kids are being vaccinated, they're 2 months old, 4 months old, and, you know, there's this little baby, and you
think,
it is scary. And then there's all this information. What we've seen is there's so much misinformation out there, or rather that a lot of the kind of scientifically proven information is not held at the same level at, or is held at the same level, but some of this kind of suspect information is kind of clouds the field. And so a lot of parents are being left and saying, well, I keep on hearing about why vaccines are bad. So should I do this? And and they're kind of just confused. And those are the parents that pediatricians say that they're able to talk with a little bit and say, this is what the CDC recommends. This is what the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends. Pediatricians I talk to will say, look, I vaccinated my own kids. I sure wouldn't have done this if I thought there was anything to these theories that vaccines are harmful.
I guess there is a small group of people that actually, for religious reasons too, right? I mean, their religion might, and we actually allow for that in our laws to have exemptions for people who have a religious objection. Am I right about
Correct.
That?
In North Carolina, we have a religious exemption to our vaccination rules. And so the vaccination rules are for kids entering public school. We need to have them vaccinated. And we have a religious exemption, and we've seen that being used as also for what some people might think is more of a philosophical belief.
There's this issue of that this develops in pockets, right? I mean, it's not like all of a sudden there's a widespread outbreak and we can just see it immediately across the state. That's what we're seeing in other states right now with measles, right?
That's exactly what we're seeing. The reason we're seeing high numbers is because these are very tight-knit communities where there's large numbers of unvaccinated children and also some adults. The state epidemiologist I spoke with, Dr. Zach Moore, told me, you know, people don't get sick statewide. They get sick in their communities. And that's what happens is that we tend to exist in communities and have kind of beliefs that we reinforce with each other. And so there's in parts of the state, there's been some larger communities, a lot of schools, a lot of private schools that we'll see where they have much higher rates of unvaccinated kids.
We had the chickenpox outbreak in Western North Carolina, right?
True. So that was in Buncombe County in Asheville, which has the highest rate of unvaccinated kindergartners. And that was particularly at the Waldorf school that I believe 3/4 of kids had not had the vaccination for that.
Some doctors are getting a little more assertive about this. And you noted in their article, they're saying maybe even no shots, no service.
Right. They might not say it that blunt,
but essentially
they're saying, you know, we can't risk this. We can't be treating kids who aren't vaccinated by their parents' choice and then having them in the waiting room where we've got a 2-month-old who's just not old enough to get those shots, or a child who's going through chemotherapy and has not been able to get those shots, that the risk is just too great. And a lot of the doctors I spoke with, you know, it wasn't just a simple decision. You know, they talked about it long and hard and they talked with the families that were being affected. They actually found that a lot of the families that were in this pool that I talked about, this hesitancy pool, that were they weren't totally convinced one way or the other, they went ahead and vaccinated their kids because the doctors believed they saw how important it was and what a kind of core belief the doctors had that vaccines were the way to go.
What about us? What about us folks who already got vaccinated a long time ago? Should folks have concerns if they themselves were vaccinated 40 or 50 years ago and now they're a middle-aged adult?
There's a group of you out there that when the measles vaccine first came out in 1963, from 1963 to 1967, they were using essentially a killed virus in the vaccine. It's now been found to be inactive. And so there are recommendations that for people that may have gotten their vaccine between 1963 to 1967, go check with your doctor, see if you need a booster shot. The belief is that those born before 1957, you were likely exposed to it just because of how rampant measles was.
I may have to go talk to my doctor. You've got a map actually on the North Carolina Health News website that really actually looks at county level data, right, for kindergartners.
Right. It's interactive. So hop on there, NorthCarolinaHealthNews.org, and you can poke around. It'll show you kind of the county by county rates of vaccination. Some of the ones with the highest unvaccination rates include Buncombe County, Watauga, and I believe Transylvania. A lot of the Western Mountain counties.
Is there any, so we have any indication that HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, is going to be ramping up their efforts in this regard? I mean, is there?
Well, I think it's always, you know, from talking with them, it's always a concern. I mean, this is just such a core part of keeping the state healthy. I do want to point out that one thing I did find in my reporting is that it might not just be kind of this belief that vaccines are dangerous. There's also an element that there's that health access might be a barrier for many families. That there was one CDC study that found with these toddlers that one of the reasons they weren't getting all their vaccines was because they might not have had access to them.
Right. Well, if your parents have trouble even just getting to the doctor or maybe aren't don't go themselves, or it's all the same issues we see for poor health care for kids who live in poverty, perhaps.
Correct. And it's something for those in public health to think about ways to reduce those barriers and be able to kind of get the word out even more.
We really appreciate all the work you're doing at North Carolina Health News. Are there any new big stories we should be on the lookout for? You got anything else brewing that we should be looking out for in the coming weeks and months, perhaps?
Well, I'm always teasing out information. One of my coverage areas is the transition to Medicaid managed care, which is a very complicated but very important issue. And so maybe I can come back on and talk to your listeners about that, because it's a very complicated issue. But what's at stake for North Carolina is incredibly high.
You can find Sarah at Sarah Ovaska on Twitter, at Sarah Ovaska, right?
Yeah.
Folks can follow you, maybe even send you a message if they've got a tip.
Sure, please do.
We really appreciate you being on. Let's do this again real soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, what do University of North Carolina System alumni think about their college years and the impact it had on their lives and careers? We'll share some of the results of a new Gallup poll. Don't go away.